This is a lecture given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website, stdave.org.
The only time in which we can love is in this moment, because the past and the future are just fantasies. But the only time when we can manifest love and is the continuation of divine love, human love, is in this moment, and in this moment, and in this moment. And without being able to practice and have this awareness of where we are and how we can participate in God's creation, then we miss it, right? So at the end of the day, this is really about meditation. It's about, right, just getting up to the point in which we keep returning, whether it's your breath or a sacred word or whatever form of meditation you have, to be able to participate in creating love in this world. Okay. So let me tell you a little bit about our Sunday meditation group. I started about 2019. I think that's about the time it started. It was right after I finished being on the vestry. I have been on the vestry for an extended period, 4 years, and you talk a lot in vestry meetings. And I still have a deep desire for being in community, but I didn't want to say anything. So, and the perfect thing to do was, well, let's just start a meditation group. And the meditation group, it was, I think at the time, about 5-6 people that were coming every week. And then the pandemic happened. And actually, immediately after that, we started meeting online, and the group kind of quadrupled, literally, right? Because the availability of, we meet at 8:30 in the morning, and just being able to be online, and created a wonderful community. And and what happened is that during the pandemic, I always say that these are the rowdiest meditators you ever meet. You know, they're very chatty. They love to talk, even though they like to sit and meditate. And what we noticed is that we were missing that time that you have before and after, you know, to really we're checking in on each other. And we started weekly check-ins. So on Wednesdays, during the pandemic, I think about the 2 years of the pandemic, we met every week and we had check-ins. And we started practicing something that is called intentional listening. And Thomas Merton speaks about that. He says, intentional listening is the hidden ground of love, right? The most precious things you have is your time. And listening with your entire attention to somebody is one of the greatest acts of love that you can do. And we did that during the pandemic for, I guess, the 2.5 years. And it's been a wonderful experience. And we still do. We meet not every Wednesday, but once a month, or we try to make it once a month. And we check in. And there's no advice. There's no, you can get advice if you ask for it. But in general, it's about listening and see how you're doing in your personal life and how you're doing in your practice. There's been a lot of laughs, a lot of tears, but it's a wonderful way in which we have built community, right? And it's also another way to be a contemplative and use your meditation practices, right? To be fully present to someone as they speak about their life, right? So what I did is I asked this wonderful group of people, I said, you know, tell me what does meditation mean for you? You know, what is meditation? And these are some of the answers that they gave us. And these, by the way, are your fellow parishioners, right? They say, meditation is really important for me in recognizing and confirming that there is a divine presence within each of us. We have to be quiet enough to hear in ourselves and see in others and in the world. Through my meditation practice, as inconsistent as it is sometimes, I experience ever deepening intimacy with and mercy from God, as close as my breath, as far reaching as my errant thoughts. I learned that I'm still learning that my life in relation to God and others is a practice, and meditation is a practice for which I experience a deep connection to the love of God as it is expressed in all living things, in all of creation. So whether I'm meditating by myself or in a group, meditation is experience of community, and beyond that, it is a profound reminder that I exist in relation to God in Christ, to others, to creations, and thus that God calls us to care for ourselves and others. Meditation reminds me constantly that I'm not in charge. No matter how hard I try, I cannot make something happen. All I can do is show up and wait. Even though I can make something happen, I have sometimes felt a silence so profound and so deep that it makes me certain that there is an immensity that surrounds me and all of us. At my age, I'm no longer certain of many things, but I'm certain of this. And these are just the wonderful writings of, you know, the people that are your parishioners in the meditation group. And this is why it's just a love, it's a lovely group to be part of. So what I was curious is, you know, what are your experiences with meditation if you have a meditation practice, or what are your hopes for meditation if you want to start a meditation practice?
Consistency. I try to do it, but it's, I don't feel like I'm consistent. Maybe more find myself slack for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe this some guidance.
Okay.
I find that the word for me to meditate is when I'm working to hum along mm-hmm. the beat. And as I hum the beat, my mind gets in peace. Where it can meditate and do two things at once. As I clean and I do my task at work, my mind wanders in a way that it helps strike my path where God wants me to go at the next day.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
I have a hard time. Perfect. Thank you. I have a hard time. I get going with my morning. I feed my cats. You know, I talk to my husband, and I feel like the day, and I'm retired, but the day just starts to swirl me away. And I think I'm going to get back to it after lunch. Mandatory. Mm-hmm. You know, like just it, so that's a real, if I can get myself in the chair. And, you know, but I really have a hard time. I don't have any more time coming.
So, I'm sorry, go ahead, Larry. Yeah.
I was just going to say, along those lines, too, one thing that I, because I would beat myself up about it when I wasn't good or good, when I wasn't consistently practicing, and being in Gustavo's group is really great, and you know you're going to have that. And then during the week, since I'm working from home now, I have a little bit more time, but I'll even, if I even do 5 minutes, like if I'm literally, because I'm in the morning, I don't have that much time. If I say, you don't have to do this long, you just do 3 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever. It really helps to center me and then keep it daily, you know, even if I don't have a lot of time. Mm-hmm. So that's one, because I would be bad about, might be feeling bad about myself when you're like, wait, that's not the point, you know?
Yeah, right.
So.
Well, I'm in 3 different meditation groups I'm doing, and frankly, I've got meditation A and D.
Okay. Community.
This is back. So, any advice for people who, and it's not like A and D really, but it's like on the purge.
Okay. So, yeah, go ahead, Roger.
I guess because of my life's experience since seminary days through my life up to this point, there's been a constant morning and evening part of my day. And at times when I'm doing it, it's my mind wanders if I think of nothing. I think Thomas Keating or many of the other experts at this. Let's say just, you know, basic what you want. And sometimes something happens, sometimes something happens. But for me, it's been a consistent way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think highlighting what I was saying has been very important when you were doing meditation and suddenly, and whatever you are going to do from the brain point, where there was not those two highlights in my view, where I was looking forward to.
Thank you for all those comments. I think, you know, what's worked for me is I was told that you start the day with two lists, an earthly list and a heavenly to-do list. So take care of your heavenly to-do list before of your earthly to-do list, right? And so the time that is for me easiest is first thing in the morning. You take care of your bio needs, and you sit and meditate. Because I have tried to pick up an evening meditation practice, and it's hard, you know, because of the family. It's just the schedule is never consistent, but my mornings are fairly predictable. And obviously, the earlier you wake up, the more predictable it becomes, but hence the challenge, right? But But that's what's worked for me. The heavenly to-do list versus the earthly to-do list. That's the first thing. The second thing is just be very kind to yourself. Really, if you want to start with 3 minutes, you know, that's all you need. Some of us need more time, and some people just need 3. That's all you need, right? And then you are centered and you're ready to go on your day. So just being kind about that, you know, the amount of time that you can start with. And one day you're going to find yourself needing like 5 minutes or 10, right? And we can talk a little bit about time in a little bit, right? But that's, I think, what's being in general. It helps, you know, having a time when you know it's a bit predictable. Okay, so what I want to do is now I want to talk about what are the instructions in our meditation that we do every week. And from now, for thousands of years, the instructions for meditation are pretty much 3 parts. Sit still comfortably, both attentive and in a relaxed way. Be quiet and focus on something to keep thoughts away. In general, that is actually the meditation instruction. It's what I read it somewhere, it's unmanageable simplicity, right? It's incredibly simple, right? And it's very difficult to accomplish. So these are the instructions that we use every Sunday. And we start with gratitude, and we're going to talk about that. And then you have guidelines for the body. Sit still, to bear witness to ourselves and to the world that there is no place to go. There is nothing missing in this moment. Sit straight, relaxed, and attentive at once, eyes closed or lowered towards the ground or gazing towards a sacred object. The way we do it is we turn the lights off and we close our eyes. Hands in a comfortable but meaningful position on your lap. Either cupping your knees or facing up. And something that I noticed is that I learn a lot about myself when I sit and my hands immediately go facing up or down. And I know what I need. I either need to be grounded or I need wisdom, right? And it's just an immediate reaction. You don't think about it. You just sit, you know, and you immediately find where your hands need to be. Guidelines for the mind. Present, open, and awake. Neither clinging nor rejecting to anything, right? And then the guidelines and attitude, not judgmental, compassion towards yourself as you discover yourself, clinging to and rejecting everything, right? So you will try to neither cling nor reject, and you will fail because you will find something really interesting that your mind is going to go into. And the funny thing is about leading a meditation group, I'm meditating and I'm thinking, oh, this will be really good to do this in meditation, and I'm going to do this, and I'm down going to the rabbit hole, right? It's kind of interesting. So just you come back to whatever it is that you're using as an anchor for keeping those thoughts away. The way we do in Sunday meditation is we use our breath, and that's what I tend to focus on, is focusing on your breath, going over and over and over again back to your breath. But as we have learned in the past week, you can use a sacred word, right? Something that is very meaningful for you. Could be the word Christ, could be Jesus, right? In our Sunday meditation, we also have mantras. And one mantra that I really like is when you breathe in, you go, this is the breath of God, the love of God, this moment, God's grace. This breath, the love of God, this moment, God's grace. And you just get in the rhythm, this breath, the love of God, this moment, God's grace, right? But when you think about it, this actually speaks about 3 different things, about the importance of gratitude in a contemporary practice, about what to do with the mind and what to do with the heart. To your point, it's about, you know, opening your heart to accept more and more and to be compassionate towards yourselves and others. When I looked at this, you know, something I find very interesting is that I think you are very much embodying the paradox, right? Because all the instructions are about doing effort, but not trying to accomplish anything. It's about being sitting relaxed, but also in an attentive position, and you having to hold these tensions together constantly. And that practice itself helps you, you know, deal with things as we deal with emotions and thoughts and so on. Okay. So let me just start with some of these, and let me start with gratitude. Why do we start with gratitude? And this is a quote from Brother David Standaraz. I don't know if you're familiar with him, But he writes extensively about how gratitude is the foundation of prayer, that all prayers should start with gratitude, right? And I got this quote from his book, which is right here, if you'd like to look at it afterwards. He said, "We cannot be mindful without being grateful. As soon as we awake from taking everything for granted, there is at least a glimmer of surprise, a beginning of gratitude. To look with wonderment means looking with the eyes of the heart." So to begin, the beginning of every prayer, of every meditation, is to just come in the realization that this is a gift that has been great, that there's been so much grace happened this week that brought us all of us here together, right? It's like Father Chad saying today, it's not so much about transformation, but you know, a revelation that you see, right, all the wonderful things that need to happen to be here, the wonders of this creation. Any thoughts about gratitude as being the start of a contemplative practice? Yeah.
Gratitude is the most favorable attribute that your Lord and Father is in your heavens, and I appreciate, because he did this for what? He didn't know them, but he did this. But he did this before the did in the day. So be grateful that he brought you in after he had the whole play. You didn't have to start like a rock. You started beautiful like an angel.
Okay, thank you. Any other thoughts? Okay. The next one is the mind. And this is the one that, you know, we mostly relate to meditation, which is that, you know, I really cannot control my thoughts, right? They're just all over the place. And what I like to do is I want to read you from this book that I love, and we tend to use this on our Sunday meditation, from Rabbi Rami Shapiro. It's called The Divine Feminine in Biblical Wisdom Literature, you know, and I love the translation. And most of all, I love the description and the explanation of the little passages here. And this is says, resting in wisdom, from the wisdom of Solomon. Resting your thoughts on her, this is perfect understanding. Staying mindful of her, this is perfect calm. She embraces those who are ready for her, revealing herself in the midst of their troubles, meeting them in every thought. And this is what Rabbi Shapiro says about that. Surrendering to wisdom is the way of wisdom. Rest your thoughts in her. This is not the same as erasing your thoughts or emptying the mind or putting an end to thinking. Thinking is to the mind as breathing is to the lung and beating is to the heart. You cannot stop thinking. You can only cease to chase after your thoughts. Wisdom does not say, stop thinking. She says, rest your thoughts in me and do not be distracted by them. You rest your thoughts in wisdom when you allow thoughts to come and go without desire or aversion. When you cling to some thoughts and flee from others, you are no longer at rest, and certainly not at rest in wisdom. Thoughts come and go, feelings arise and fade away. This is what the mind does. Don't seek to change it, but don't pay more attention than it deserves. Allow things to rise and fall on their own accord. That accord is wisdom. How do we feel about that?
All the power, all the joy, all the feelings you can wrap up in one being and one pill, swallow down in one pill. That's how we feel. We'll get into one story.
Yeah, go ahead, Dan.
Well, I used to think that what I thought was true. And it's been a process of understanding that my thoughts are not necessarily true.
Mm-hmm.
That I can sure. have made thoughts. I can mm-hmm. have, you know, weird thoughts. I can have all kinds of thoughts, and I don't have to like cling to them because mm-hmm. they aren't necessarily, they're real, but they aren't really
you.
They maybe don't really relate truly to what's real.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sure.
That makes sense to me too, because as you were speaking, I thought, I don't know what I think is not true, what other people think. I can't meditate because I'm worried about what somebody said or what somebody did. And so that's, I'm really glad you said that, because it made me realize that that's not really relevant. It's just something out there.
So you might as well relax and enjoy it, right?
Relax and enjoy. Know God, you build yourself, and you relax and enjoy everything else.
Very good. Yeah.
A serenity prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things that cannot change, the courage to change things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And like you say, it's like figure out, use wisdom, realize that not all thoughts are true. That are bothering you, or whatever that's keeping you from resting at that time for meditation. And also think about, you know, you can't control other people's thoughts. And it's all along and project what they're thinking. And you don't get to do it. So try to let go of that at the moment, even if it's just those 3 minutes.
Yeah, Ellen.
I really like that reading. I like the idea. The idea that wisdom is something that is in us and that we don't have to be important necessarily, and that it's, we're present in the moment and trying to be present with our breath or present in the moment, but there is wisdom kind of essentially in us. And, you know, things block it. You know, we're not all wise, but you know, I don't have to be some bold person to, you know, have wisdom.
That's like what Chad was saying too. It could be revealed in us. It's not like we have to go change and find it. It's already in there.
Yes.
Just,
yeah.
most of the time the reaction to this reading, what I notice is it's like, you know, because we all feel like, you know, why can I control my mind? Why the thoughts are all over the place? I sit down for 15 minutes and I did planning and I thought about this crush that I have, this thing I'm going to do. And we always feel like we are failing. But the point is just to take a step back and let the thoughts come and go. Just don't chase them, but also don't reject them, right? And the way this is sometimes explained as well is saying that become an observer of your thoughts, right? That you take a step back, which to me is actually, in my personal journey, is the most fascinating thing. What does it mean to be an observer of my thoughts? Who is observing my thoughts? Right? Who am I when I'm observing my thoughts? But I also know that to be true, that I can become an observer of my thoughts and see them come and go. Right. Something that also is helpful, you know, you just need to be a little careful with this, is you name it. Right. So things happen and you say, this is fear, you know, and you see it go away like a cloud. Ego. Oh, I'm going to rock this thing. I'm rocking this meditation. Ego. Right. You know, and you see it go away like a cloud. Right. So the thing that you need to be a little bit careful with that is that you can also start feeling a little bad. Man, a lot of ego in this meditation today, right? So you need to be also gentle. But that has been very helpful for me, just to name things. You know, oh, I'm afraid. And sometimes I notice, you know, this is actually something that is making me anxious, right? Anxiety, right? You know, when we're going to come back and going to look at that soon, right? So, okay. Any more? Yeah, go ahead, Raj.
I think we all sit in meditation with both silence and quiet. I find in the morning I do that to you because of my prayer. I have music playing in the background. And usually it's a song. And then it's not playing back. Often, music.
Oh yeah, I didn't know that all my life I've been meditating with music. You know, that, you know, it's actually, it's a way that has helped me calm and get into my thoughts and all that. It's interesting you mentioned that because 6 months ago, I don't know, many months ago, in my meditation practice, which is silent, really this thought came, it's like, I need sound. And it just came and said, I need sound in my meditation. And for the past many months, I've been looking for something to chant because my meditation needed it. And I just started a 40-day meditation group, this yoga studio I go to. And it's been just very interesting because it is what I needed. That chant, that mantra is what I needed. But I think that's what also part of being contemplative is to understanding what you need when and being at peace with God's timing, right? That there was some uneasiness. It's like, oh, you need sound. You need to find sound. So okay, let's just walk this, keep walking in this journey, and the sound will appear. And I was just telling Alan this morning, we were on vacation, and I wanted to buy another singing bowl. If you guys, somebody told me that the singing bowls are like wands to the wizard in Harry Potter. The wand picks the wizard. I was told that the singing bowl picks the yogi, right? So I love my singing bowl, but there was a bowl here that Rebecca bought for us when we started a meditation group. And I've been bringing mine, okay, because it's my singing bowl. But I was telling my wife, I think I need another tone. And then today, when I opened the cabinet, there it is, the other tone, right? And it was just waiting for me,
yeah.
Right? So there was time when I didn't see this, that bowl. I have blocked it completely, but the time was right. I was open enough to say, oh yeah, that's the second tone. And today we're going to have two tones in our meditation as a result of that. So, okay, we're running a little bit out of time. So let me just do the last part, which is the heart, right? The ability to hold these sometimes maybe contradictory feelings together and be at peace with that. And I love this this quote for Jack Kornfield, who is a Zen Buddhist teacher. You know, he's very popular. He has a lot of podcasts that you can listen to. He says, alignment is not an experience, but to discover the capacity of the heart to rest in wisdom and in compassion. In this moment, in the reality of the present. To be here now in this body, on this earth, in this particular day, and to find peace with gain and loss, birth and death, praise and blame, joy and sorrow. Right? So it's just being, to me, that is what it is. You know, it's, to me, the word, the key word here is peace, right? Is that there will be joy, there will be sorrow, there will be praise, there will be blame. It would all come. It would all come and go. It's part of being a soul, having a human experience, right? But to be at peace with that, to me, that's, you know, what is part of meditation practice, right? Yeah.
You're saying that you need just the tones of the bells or performed by ensemble or just some sort of sound. Curious about the role of music and meditation.
Ah, okay. That music ensemble, that sounds really good. I would take that. So for me, I can tell you, I don't know what it was, but I had this desire to vocalize my to have a vibration of a meditation. That's what it was. We use the bell here. The way I use the bell is to help us focus. So what I'm going to ask you is to listen to the bell until you no longer hear the sound, but you might still feel the vibration. Right, so be so attentive that the sound is gone, but you can still sense the vibration in the air. Right, and I also do it to change rhythms because I will speak at the end, I will say a prayer, and if I just break in, you're going to be like, whoa, what was that, right? So I just break with the silence, with the bell, right? That's how I help with that. But there's other kinds, like, you know, there's Sufis, right? They dance. That's their meditative practice, right? They do this really elaborate, intense dance, and you can find these meditative rhythms, you know. It's kind of like jazz is for me sometimes, right? It's like just listening to jazz. And, I mean, that is just the jazz musician being in the moment, right? And just creating something wonderful, right? So, yeah, good.
Professional donations and the music comes from the donations. So the best way you need to do to observe it is when you hear a song playing and it's saying one thing and the people who are listening to it doing another thing, then you understand the vibrational donations are different on the donations. And then you can judge what you're going to listen to by that same vibrational donations. Like bald-headed scallywag ain't got nothing on her. And then you see the girls that are getting made fun of the lyrics, doing what they're being made fun of for, that means the vibrational lyrics and the beat is controlling the mind to disgrace them beyond minds. So when you hear that and see that, you stay away from that type of music. But when you see music that is gracious with a gracious brenamity, that's the music you want to use because it will control your mind to be gracious for your Father in heaven and the minds. So observe with your intelligent mind the lyrics to the beat and what it's causing the mice to do. And if you don't want to be a disgrace, you step away from it, your grace.
Okay, thank you. I have one more. Any more thoughts about the heart? You know, Rumi has this great poem that is very famous. They said, you know, there's all these visitors, you know, that a grief, a joy. It says, welcome them all, right? And sometimes, you know, that often happens in meditation. You sit and you're like, oh, we're sad today, right? And then say, sadness, we're just going to sit and meditate together, right? Or joy, there's joy today. And it's okay to feel joyful, right? Today we're going to sit with joy and that's who we're going to be today. And sometimes it goes, you know, in all different directions. But to me, meditation practice, opening your heart, almost literally, if you do yoga, you do heart openers, those are awful, right? Because you shake, because the heart becomes very vulnerable, right? So opening your heart to all of this, to me, is a great, another great reason why to practice meditation. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Sciatica for a long time. It's hard for me to sit very long. And I know some of the art work, I don't know what branch, but it's like you sit through the pain. It doesn't really jive with me.
Yeah.
But you have a take on that.
No, I think if you're not, it should never be do anything that hurts your body, right? I mean,
it's through pain.
Yeah.
You don't die. Best way to do your pain on your body is study yonatic symbols. And yonatic symbols will praise the fanatics. Remember that is when you need the pain. You just don't push it to a point of unbearable pain. Do a little pain in the yoga and then back off. You want to get body becomes all to the people like that.
Yeah. So I would say just, you know, don't do anything that, I mean, you have to be comfortable. You have to find something that you be able to sit silent for a long time. In general, I mean, if we all had time, we would do 45 minutes of yoga, your body's open and relaxed, and then you meditate, right? But we don't have the luxury. I think just don't do anything that is hurtful. So, shall we? Shall we do a little meditation? Yeah? Okay, sounds good. All right. Okay, so what we're gonna do is, I'm going to take you for a little, thank you. If you don't mind just shutting down the lights a little bit. I think they're over here. Yeah. So what we're going to do is I'm going to take you for a little guided meditation. And then I'm going to ring the bell. That is the time when we're going to go silent. Okay. And then we'll be silent for about 10, 15 minutes. And then I would ring the bell again and I would say a prayer. Okay. And then after that, do you mind staying here? We're going to close our eyes. So I won't be aware what's going on. So if you mind staying for the meditation. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Sounds good? All right. All right. Okay, let's go ahead and begin with a bow of gratitude for being in this space, for sharing the space together, for friends with whom to share the spiritual journey, for this earth that sustains us. So let's begin by taking three cleansing breaths, just long inhale through your nose, and you exhale through your mouth. With each inhale and exhale, start relaxing your body and becoming more and more aware of this space, of this breath, of this moment. Let's begin by checking our posture. Your feet comfortably on the ground. Imagine your feet growing roots into the ground, feeling supported by the earth. Imagine an imaginary string lifting your head up to the heavens. Your shoulders up and away from your ears, and your heart is open. And focus on your breath. And with each breath, relax your shoulders. Relax your jaw, your tongue. Relax your eyes, under your eyes, behind your eyes. Relax your ears, smooth forehead. And the crown of the head. Be still and breathe. Let's bring an intention of gratitude for the next 15 minutes. Thank you, body. You have taken us places, calm and gone. You've been tired and energized. We can be at peace now. Thank you, mind. You have helped me solve problems, plans. We can be at peace. Thank you, heart. You have loved and hoped. You have care. We can be at peace. From Teresa de Avila. May today there be peace within. May you trust that you are exactly where you are meant to be. May you not forget the infinite possibilities that are born of faith. May you see those gifts that you have received and pass on the love that has been given to you. May you be content knowing you are a child of God. Let this presence settle into your bones and allow your soul the freedom to sing, dance, praise, and love. It is there for each one of us. May the strength of the wind and the light of the sun, the softness of the rain, and the mystery of the moon reach you and fill you. May beauty delight you and happiness uplift you. May wonder fulfill you and love surround you. May your step be steady and your arm be strong. May your heart be peaceful and your word be true. May you seek to learn. May you learn to live. May you live to love. And may you love always. Thank you, guys.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.